Welcome back as we kick off hour number two of Feedback. You're on Air Town Square here on The Voice of Berks and Beyond, 830 WEEU. Feedback, it's a unique show that combines news and talk on current issues. And unlike other talk shows where the views of the host are the focal point, here on Feedback, it is the opinions of you, the listeners, that are front and center. Good morning, everyone. I'm Bill Saunders, along with Sean Tansky. And our phone numbers here are 610-374-8800 or toll-free, 888-401-0459. We do have a dedicated text line if you want to text us your opinion. That number is 484-650-3373. And, of course, we have an email address for you, too. That's feedback at 830weeu.com. And I'm honored for this hour to have in the studio with me Tim Daly, who is Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of Berks County. Tim, good morning. Welcome to Feedback.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you with us today. And you and I were having a very interesting conversation during the news break, and I'm really looking forward to the next hour in talking with you about Habitat for Humanity, starting with the fact that there might be a lot of misconceptions that people have about Habitat for Humanity, and you touched on them with me off air. Share with me why that is the case. What are the misconceptions, and why do they exist, do you think?
Well, Habitat for Humanity got its beginnings back in 1979. Millard Fuller from down in the Georgia way, he created the Habitat for Humanity mission and the model. And what he was able to do was create the opportunity for people to help people. So Habitat for Humanity was formed as a coin with two sides. The first side, or one side, they're equal, but one side is that it's about home ownership.
Okay.
It's about putting roots down in your community and having longevity and stability to where you live. The flip side to that same coin is the volunteer experience. And we take great lengths to be able to have people come out, and we're very successful with it. But we make sure that their volunteer experience is something that I call it the tattoo experience. It stays with you forever. And I've talked to people that did it in college, and here they are 30 years later, and they still remember the experience. So it's quite a unique program. But however, over the years, it has gotten the reputation that it is a giveaway program, that it is totally funded by the government, and that it's something more for the homeless than it is for the working class.
Okay.
And these are the kinds of things we're trying to educate the public, because we are not about those things. We do get some subsidy from the government through HUD. We do not really impact the homeless population. They do need help. They do need opportunities, but we are probably the wrong tool for that.
Okay.
But we are the right tool to be able to get families to have a plan on their future as an independent entity of their community.
You said that it got its start in Georgia, and of course everyone knows a very famous person who's been involved with Habitat for Humanity, former President Jimmy Carter.
Right.
Was he one of the founders of Habitat for Humanity?
Well, this is a funny story, because years ago in my prior life as a police officer, I found myself in D.C. speaking about some urban issues. One of the people I met was Millard Fuller.
Oh, okay.
He was a speaker in the other room. So he and I ended up having dinner that night at the hotel.
Oh, wow.
And he told me the story about he and his wife, and then they went to Africa and Kenya, and they started the Habitat. And I did the same thing. I mentioned President Carter. And he said to me, well, when the president left the White House, he became my next-door neighbor in Georgia.
Oh.
And when he found out what I did, based on his popularity, he said, I never worked so hard in my life since then, because so he was grateful for President Carter's contribution, but he's not a founding father of the organization.
Gotcha. And share with me, how long have you served? You said 13 years.
I'm in my 13th year, yes.
As executive director of the local?
Mm-hmm.
What got you into this?
You know what? I grew up in the city. You know, my history in the city is through a lot of different lenses. As a kid growing up, I think I hit a ball or dribbled a basketball every inch of the town. And later years, I was a police officer in the city of Reading.
Oh, okay.
And then I worked for the courts.
Uh-huh.
And so then at one point, a few of my close friends indicated that maybe this would be the chair I should sit in. And I bring, a unique view of the city, seeing it in all the lenses that I have. And so what I'm doing with Habitat, and I think the fact that I met Millard Fuller had something to do with it, and I had dinner with he and his wife. So what I'm doing is just kind of reliving my childhood. I'm just trying to remember what it was like to go around this town when it was functioning and doing very well, and we're trying to recreate that.
I'm talking with Tim Daly. He's executive director of the local Habitat for Humanity that serves Berks County. How does this program work?
Well, what it takes is the when I talk about this, I talk about concept before process.
Okay.
And because of the things that we just talked about, the misconceptions about what people think.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we look at the concept, we try and educate the public to say, number one, it's not a giveaway program. And it's really designed to impact the workforce population of this community. And we tell the families and we tell the public that this is an earned relationship between Habitat and the family.
Okay.
So we have to be able to cooperate with each other and have a clear understanding. Now, it comes with 200 hours of sweat equity. Once you're in the program, you sign off that you are within 13 months, you're going to complete 200 hours of sweat equity. And that's, you're going to work on the job site itself. You're going to do some things at our restore. And you're also going to have 50 hours in a classroom where you're going to learn financial awareness.
Okay.
I equate that to about a freshman college course in economics, because
okay.
you learn a lot about the interest and all the things that you got to do and taxes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
We also have in there credit score recovery within that training.
Okay.
Many of our families come with poor credit scores simply because they've never established credit.
Okay.
So mm-hmm. it's not that they have bad credit, they have
mm-hmm.
none.
Mm-hmm.
So we do that, and then we get them prepped to take them before a bank for a 30-year mortgage and that application. So that's the process. Now, the family, once they decide that they want to get involved, they come to us, and there's a rather extensive application process. You have to be in this county at least 1 year. You have to be in the country legally.
Okay.
And you have to be able to disclose all your financial information that we ask for.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, you go through the interview process with Anita Powell, who's our Director of Family Services, and then you get interviewed by the Family Selection Committee, which is a group of volunteers who in many walks of life are able to sit down and trying to see the authenticity of the family
mm-hmm.
and what they want to do. If you get through that, then your 200 hours of sweat equity begin. And in the meantime, we're out either building a brand new home or renovating an existing house for that person to take ownership to.
Now, you talk about sweat equity. If it was someone like me who doesn't even know how to hit a nail with a hammer.
What's a hammer? Shows you what I know.
How do you handle situations like that where somebody is not talented in the field of carpentry and building a home?
We have a unique arm of the organization called the Habitat Restore. It is a retail operation located out on the Allentown Pike, and hopefully we'll talk a little bit about it later. But what it is, it's on the model of a Goodwill, where people donate building items. We don't take clothing, but we do it in the theme of what we do. So it's building items, household furniture. You know, I can clean out your garage, your attic, and your basement real quick.
Come on over to my condo. I've got a few things
I'll
give away.
I will take them. And so what we do is a lot of our families will go out there
mm-hmm.
because it's an opportunity to engage with the public. They don't have to worry about power tools and what you do with all that. But that's what they do. So we monitor the 200 hours very rigorously,
okay.
and we make sure that they're completed within 13 months, because the normal start to finish till you get the key to the house is about 15 to 16 months.
Wow. And how many volunteers do you have working for Habitat for Humanity putting these homes together?
That varies. We get corporate volunteers. They come out for a day. Like Visions Credit Union comes out. Other organizations come out, Customers Bank, and they'll have a group of 10 or 12 people that will do various things. What's good right now is we're building four new homes continuously, so they can work on various levels of what we're doing over in the Buttonwood Gateway area on Miltimore Street.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
What we find out is that the bigger we get, the more people want to be involved with something on a grander scale.
Okay.
So we do have a lot of volunteers. We never are struggling for them. But then there's times where we have a small group of regular volunteers that come 2 to 3 days a week and kind of do the finishing work that takes a little more skill.
Now, based on what you've said so far in determining who is qualified to occupy one of these homes, mm-hmm. how does it differ? Can you share with me what goes through the minds of someone who occupies a home that they took part in building versus someone who buys a home that they didn't participate in buying or in building, rather?
Well, I think it goes into that, again, that earned relationship. Mm-hmm. What we get to see over the course of the 200 hours is the evolution of the renter who never thought they'd be able to own something into a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best stories I can tell is the guy that called me up 5 years after he was in his house complaining about double parking and complaining about the kids making noise at the end of the block. That validated him being a homeowner, because that's every homeowner I've ever met in my life. So that was proof positive. There it was. That's all I needed. But what we're dealing with is we work within the 45 to 80% of the median income population of this community, which pretty much is the $18 to $28 an hour employee.
Okay. All right.
And they've been renting for generations.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get to a point where they like to evolve and go forward and become a little more independent. But again, the housing market fluctuates so often, they just never see themselves in that position.
Okay.
You can go out and buy a $28,000, $38,000 home. However, the reason it's $28,000 to $38,000 is probably got about $75,000 worth of work that you got to put into it probably over the next 2 to 3 years.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
And that they can't do.
Right.
So with Habitat, the partnership and the agreement is we will create a safe, clean environment, an affordable environment for you.
Mm-hmm.
Your obligation is to become a homeowner in every sense of the word, take out a 30-year mortgage, become a banking customer, and do the American way, go into debt right away, I guess. But that seems to work because now we haven't done near enough. We're only at about 70 to 75 homes over the course of the existence of Habitat. However, we need to do more,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the goal, that we're going to be that kind of a resource for this community to be able to let people see their dreams a little more clearly.
Tim, do you have an idea as to what the cost of a home that Habitat for Humanity puts together versus a comparable home, existing home? How much of a savings it would be for a person who takes part in the Habitat for Humanity program and gets their home that way versus a home over here that's comparable in structure and neighborhood, but is not part of Habitat for Humanity?
Yeah. Well, what we have are two things. We can build new, what they call stick build. That's something I learned over the years. So you have new build or you have renovations. Now, the city of Reading, based on its housing stock, is really more renovations than stick built.
Okay.
So what we do is we go in and we tear it down to the bare walls because we know it's got lead paint. We know it's got old insulation. We want to make sure two things, that the family's going to enter into a healthy environment and that it's going to be rebuilt or redone in a manner that we hope that the first 7 to 8 years, it's relatively maintenance-free.
Okay.
Because of the economics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I'll give you a case study. We had a particular woman who in 2002 bought a renovated home in the city of Reading. She bought it for $38,000. She and her two daughters took out a 30-year mortgage. She paid it off, and I wasn't with Habitat at the time, but she paid that off 10 years earlier. She paid it off in 20 years.
Whoa.
Because at the end of the day, when you deal with a Habitat methodology, you have discretionary income that you experience every month.
Mm-hmm.
So she ended up coming in to our office, the last check for the mortgage, 10 years earlier. She had the house appraised,
$190,000. Oh, wow.
So the generational wealth in 20 years went from 38 to that.
Wow.
So you can imagine, you know, the smile on that face.
Yeah.
But that's showing how this program works. But again, it only works when you become a true homeowner.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There was no assistance there. There was no latitude given.
Mm-hmm.
She wanted it and she worked hard. And I think once you position people who want it that bad, the human condition will take over. And they're very successful. You know, we sit here today, and I, out of the 70-some homes that we've done, we're 100% healthy with our mortgages. Now, we've had some slips over the years, no question about it.
Okay.
But sitting here today, we're fine.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And there's other stories like that where people have experienced that kind of wealth. You know, there's something about, for example, you and I would probably remember starter homes.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Right.
Well, that kind of verbiage has gone away for the last several decades.
Right.
And a lot of these programs will empower you maybe to have home ownership, but sometimes they don't talk about beyond the home ownership. Like what happens after you've done well for 7 years or 10 years and now you can move?
Mm-hmm.
That's a starter home.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that's where we're in this position now. We're starting to see some of our families really explode in success because the housing market right now allows for that kind of rate of increase,
mm-hmm.
and that's fine, and that's situational.
Mm-hmm.
But the regardless, these families now are going to have options within the first decade of home ownership because here's what happens. For example, there's three things. You and I and the richest person in the world needs three things to be successful. You want something that's tangible. You want something that's valued and many times more valuable than your car. So a house is it.
That's right.
The second thing is you want some discretionary income at the end of the month. You want the affordability to own that house.
Mm-hmm.
How many times have we heard people own homes, but they're house poor? They can't afford the furniture to put in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens to a lot of people who make a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So you want that discretionary income. And that 30-year mortgage ensures that you're going to stabilize your debt. You, me, the president of any company, and any Habitat family needs those three things if they're going to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we position our families to do. And our families experience those three things. And it's fun because now you hear them talk about, because they paid all this money for rent, they were living hand to mouth. What bill don't I pay this month that I'll pay next month?
True.
And they had to live that world. Now they talk about taking their kids to the Reading Phillies or going to dinner or whatever. They're enjoying the hubbub of their community because it's cheaper to own a house with mortgage taxes and insurances monthly than it was to rent. And now with the education that we give them financially, they know what to do with that extra money.
Tim Daly is my guest this morning. He's Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity here in Berks County. And we're going to continue our discussion with Tim, and we invite your questions while he's here. 610-374-8800 or toll-free, 888-401-0459. Right now, we're going to take a break, but feedback, you're on Air Town Square. We'll continue in just a bit. Stay with us.
Serving Paoli, Glenmore, Coatesville, and all of Chester County. This is News Talk 830, WEEU.
Welcome back to Feedback. You're on Air Town Square here on the voice of Berks and Beyond. 830 WEEU, where our phone number is 610-374-8800 or toll free, 888-401-0459. My guest this morning is Tim Daly, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity of Berks County. And Tim, based on what you were saying in the first segment there before we broke for the commercial break, it sounds like this is would be an excellent program for young people who are still living with their parents because they can't afford to move out on their own. Am I right or not?
Yeah. When I talk about the average median income, and you look at some of the starting salaries of young people coming out, even college, and you look at that range, depending on who employs them, they could fall into that range and be able to be a homeowner through the Habitat methodology and start their generational wealth and start, not getting further into debt, so to speak,
right?
And get some stability. I think the issue here is, like teachers are a good example. A lot of teaching salaries, when seniors come out of college and the starting salary is at X, sometimes that X is a little bit lower than my high end, that 80%. So there you go.
How about that?
And it's an opportunity to, again, that goes back to what we spoke to earlier about the idea that it's a giveaway program or it's a program for the exceptionally poor. It is not. It is
right.
Workforce housing.
Okay.
So, yes, there is an opportunity for any generation or any level or a lot of levels of income to at least explore the possibilities.
All right. So let's talk about the process that someone who's listening to you now is interested. What's the process for them? How do they approach you and get this whole process underway?
Well, what you would do, our office is on the third floor of the Goggle Works, Suite 330.
Mm-hmm.
Our phone number is 610-374-3539. And Anita Powell is the person who does all the intake work.
Okay.
But I would say to those who are thinking about making that call, the first thing I would ask you to do is to, realize this is what we want to do. We want to put some roots down. We want to create a stable environment for myself, my kids, whoever.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ready to make that investment because, again, that earned relationship is paramount to how this works. So when that decision is made individually, even before you come to Habitat, things get a lot better real quick.
Okay.
So that's what I would ask them to do.
And in these homes, do they come with new appliances?
Yeah. They are exceptional when it comes to the workmanship. And I have to credit my director of construction, Mike Rodino, and his two supervisors, Eric Mazur and Matt Metzger. The work that they do and the volunteer work is on par with any professional you would ever hire.
Oh, wow.
And they get brand new appliances. All the building materials we use, we do purposely to upgrade simply because we want it to last. So we make sure in a renovation, we take it out to the brick wall because lead paint issues,
right.
Old insulation, bad wiring.
Mm-hmm.
So we make it a shell on purpose. We just don't paint over it and make it look nice. We really go to the heart of what that house is going to be. And then the new builds are, they're very exceptional.
Okay.
And what you see on Miltimore Street, we're going to have 9 alone just on Miltimore Street.
Wow.
And in an urban environment in the city, you have very little opportunity for new builds.
Right.
For obvious reasons. Mm-hmm. But when we've been given the opportunity, we look pretty good.
I hear from realtors there really isn't much land available here in Berks County for new builds. And so I gather that the majority of your work pertains to existing structures that you're renovating.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. And that's that can be a crackerjack box because you pull a panel back and sometimes the strangest stuff comes out of there.
I can imagine.
But it's the quality of work is terrific. And the and again, it adds to the value of the home overall. And we feel really good when a family goes in. We know they're going to be in mold-free, you know, and healthier atmosphere altogether.
Where do you get your materials? Are they donated to you, or how does that process work?
It's a little bit of everything. We've developed over the years good relationships with a lot of the vendors throughout Berks County for all the different materials. We do not ask; we pay for what we use.
Okay.
I don't want to come around with my hat in my hand because that's good once, mm-hmm. and the second time you just see the back of their heads as they're running away from you. So we've established relationships, and we're willing to pay the price. Now, what has happened, and to the graciousness of the building community or the contracting community of Berks County, over a period of time, they'll start to offer things to us. They like to be involved with these big projects. They see what we're doing. And again, we're part of that earned relationship with them.
Sure.
So there are
sure.
times where we will see some donated product, we'll see some reduced hours or hourly wages for contracted services. So we're starting to get respected, okay. I think, for okay. what we do. But I think part of that respect is we weren't out there just asking something for nothing. That goes against the Habitat mission. Why should I do it?
Right, absolutely.
So,
all right, let's talk. You've started talking about some of your current projects. Share with us some others that are underway now.
Well, I go back to the late Albert Boscov when we looked at the Buttonwood Gateway project. He was gracious enough to give Habitat land in that area, and my promise that I would see people living in houses there.
Okay.
So I think I can look up to the skies and say I've held my end of the bargain. But that's very important. That was very important for me to do and for Habitat to do. And so we continue the Buttonwood Gateway project. We're building, we're renovating, we're not nearly done. We're still struggling to get site control of blighted properties, but that's a process that we continue to struggle with. But once we do, what we turn out as a product is terrific. We're also initiating something called Innovation Corridor. At 9th and Douglas, the Reading School District is building currently a brand new school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's going to house 1,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
That neighborhood is in need of some uplift. That neighborhood has some conditions that if left unchallenged or changed, that it's going to compromise maybe the success of that school when you consider the students coming and going. So we're very engaged with this Reading School District, Councilwoman Melissa Ventura, mm-hmm. and trying to make sure that we can eliminate some of the blighted issues there as well.
Okay.
So now, but the next one, and this is an exciting one. We're going to do 60 homes by 2030.
Oh, wow.
And we're doing them in the county.
Oh, wow.
We have seen and identified. We've, got a good relationship with the commissioners and Ken Pick from the county's mm-hmm. community development. And our goal is to renovate 60 homes in the county of Berks by 2030.
Outside the city of Reading.
Yeah. Okay. Now, keep in mind, and I've said this when we started Miltimore Street, I stood with Eddie Moran, and the mayor and I agreed that we were going to do 50 projects during his second term.
Wow.
And I've got 8 properties already done, so the mayor needs to get me some properties. Because we want to grow the organization to do both, and we can. We have the skill. We have the ability. We know how to do it, but we need the inventory. So I need the mayor to get me some stuff I can put on the shelf, and the county's doing it as well. So we're looking forward to being one of the biggest housing renovators in the county of Berks that hasn't been around for a while.
Now, that leads to an interesting question, because I was telling you off air that I had Reading City Council President Donna Reed on with me just last week.
Right.
And we were talking about the blighted property problem here in the city of Reading. Are you working in tandem with the Reading Redevelopment Authority?
I'm waiting in the wings. What I've said to Community Development and the Reading Redevelopment Authority is I will take care of the properties that you're able to get me. I will renovate them. You see what we do. We actually go out and get the families for you. We put Habitat homeowners in.
Right.
I'm waiting on the sidelines for the call to go in the game and do what I do best.
How about that? And they have not gotten back to you?
Well, we have it's a process. It's okay. A process.
Okay. Are you getting cooperation from local governments, whether it be the city of Reading or other municipalities, since you were talking about moving into other parts of the county? Are you getting cooperation from other counties, or is the process rather difficult with zoning and other issues?
It's always an issue. And again, when I express any of the issues that we have, they're expressed by almost every Habitat in the Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. It's just a common issue. We do get cooperation, but there are certain subtleties that need to be worked out because of government funding from time to time, reimbursement issues, cash flow issues. You know, when you do what we do, it's a very expensive proposition, and it's layered.
Okay.
And so you can't wait 90 days for $50,000 when the guy that did the work needed that $50,000 30 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're not coming back to help you.
Gotcha.
So we have to be able to deal with those kinds of things. So and that's kind of across the board. So we have to iron them out. And again, it goes back, and I hate to overuse it, but the idea of getting earned relationships with the people you need to partner with.
Okay. We're going to take another break, but before we do, why don't you share the phone number for people who want to get in touch with Habitat for Humanity?
Well, we have the Restore. That is at 921. I'll get to that when I, you know what, I don't have it. Anyway, our number is 373-3439, and we are located at 201 Washington Street in the Goggle Works on the third floor.
Gotcha. My guest this morning is Tim Daly. He's Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity for Berks County. And if you have a question for him, our numbers here are 610-374-8800 or toll-free 888-401-0459. We're going to take a break, but feedback continues on this Tuesday morning in just a bit. Stay with us.
Serving Myerstown, Fredericksburg, Newmanstown, and all of Lebanon County, this is News Talk 830 WEEU.
Welcome back to Feedback. You're on Air Town Square here on the Voice of Berks and Beyond. Our numbers here are 610-374-8800 or toll-free 888-401-0459. We're talking about the Habitat for Humanity of Berks County, and my guest this morning is the executive director of the group. His name is Tim Daly. And Tim, we've been talking not only about some of the projects that are underway and what's coming up in the future here, but share with me the social determinants of health. What's that all about?
Well, the thing that we look at with regards to what we do, we look at ourselves as one little sliver of the bigger picture and trying mm-hmm. to. And so the question becomes, if you're going to be that spoke, then, you know, you have to be able to say it's not so much what you do, but why do you do it? Well, here's what we know statistically. We know that owner-occupied housing creates a tremendous amount of good for the overall community. For example, Habitat children score 7% higher in math. They do 9% higher in reading, and that's all through grades elementary school, you know, up until through high school.
Okay.
They graduate 62% more than renters, and there's usually less crime. And there's surveys have shown peace of mind, a better stability to the house and to the community that they live in. Okay. So there's a lot of attributes to that. What I've really gotten involved is something called the social determinants of health, which the medical community has known for years. And basically, it's kind of your level of employment, your level of education, where you can afford to live, your lifestyle, mm-hmm. your personal choices. If you put all those things together, your health is going to be more determined by those factors than your own DNA. So there are certain chronic illnesses associated with low to moderate income living, mm-hmm. and obesity, high blood pressure, stress, and it just goes on and on. So what they're finding out is that if we're going to reduce the amount of ambulance rides, ER visits, hospital stays to that population, we need to start paying attention to what the social determinants tell you. And they say, and it's almost like a baseball diamond, first base is affordable, clean, safe housing.
Okay.
Now, it doesn't have to be habitat, but that's part of it. Mm-hmm. But the idea is that you're there for a period of time, you're stable, you've put some roots down into an area, you're part of a community. The second base to that is the kids that come out of that environment do so much better in school.
Mm-hmm.
They graduate. Third base is the employer. And he says, I like this group of people. I need them to come and work and build my product. And that job comes with affordable health care. So you don't score success until you touch home plate. And that home plate is, I just took you on a journey, how a family becomes independent and a viable resource to themselves and to the community.
Okay.
That's the social determinants of health. But it starts with that roof over your head. It starts with that same doorknob you turn every day. And it starts with that same kitchen you do your homework in, so you're not bouncing around the area.
Is there a down payment requirement? We only have about a minute left here. Is there a down payment requirement from somebody who wants to occupy a home that's
Absolutely.
Been built?
Absolutely. And during the 200 hours, what we do is we work with that family to build that down payment
okay.
so that they have it in the bank. And more do come with that kind of financial equity mm-hmm. Up front. They just haven't realized what their potential is as far as being a homeowner.
And real quick here with the remaining seconds we have, is there a waiting list right now?
We do. It's not a large one because we've been pretty good about what we, with the housing. We don't want too many people, so the waits aren't, elongated. But we're doing well. We have enough people for the families and the housing mix, and we also probably have about 20 people in the wings.
And again, provide the phone number for the group?
610-373-3439. And also the Habitat Restore is 610-921-1315. And with the Habitat Restore, till the end of this week, if you come out and mention this show, you get 20% off your purchase.
Oh, there you go. And for anybody who has furniture or any other items that they want to donate, how can they go about doing that?
Just call the Habitat or go online and call the office and we'll steer you into arranging a pickup. And because we do come, we'll come and pick it up. You don't have to bother coming and deliver your unused items. We'll take care of it for you.
And you say online, what's the web address?
www.habitatberks.org.
Tim Daly, Executive Director of the Habitat for Humanity of Berks County, has been my guest this hour. Tim, thank you so much. I learned a lot about the organization
today. Thank you so much for having me on. It's a pleasure to meet you.
It was a pleasure to meet you as well, and we'll be back with the final seconds of hour number two of Feedback in just a bit.
Weather and traffic.
It's a source I can trust.
A new generation of talk. News Talk 830 WEEU.